Chapter 39. A Commanding Position. President-elect Alex Mason was eating breakfast on the east patio. The smell of jasmine, so prevalent in the evening, had dissipated. The clouds had cleared, and the warm sun on Mason's back felt good, even though he'd felt under the weather for the last couple of days. He didn't bother to stand when his visitors were shown onto the patio by the butler. "Mrs. Masterson and Mr. Gresham, sir." Mason smiled at the introduction, the butler clearly following his order not to use their official titles. "Thank you, Henry. Helen, Chuck, good to see you again. Please, have a seat. Can we get you some breakfast?" "Nothing for me, sir," said Gresham, as he took a seat on the opposite side of the table. Masterson turned to the butler. "I'd love some coffee, please." With mild satisfaction, the president-elect noted the two's discomfort. He'd purposefully sat with his back to the sun, thus ensuring his visitors would be facing directly into it. Their attempts to subtly manoeuvre their chairs out of the almost blinding sunlight made him smile. "Always take a commanding position," he thought. "Thank you for seeing us, sir," said the FBI director. "We know how busy you must be at this time." "Yes, indeed, thank you, sir," added Helen Masterson. With a slight wave of his hand, Mason said, "Oh, I'm not that busy, and I always have time to talk to the director of the FBI and the Attorney General." He smiled, picked up a large crystal tumbler of orange juice and took a drink, wiped his lips with a crisp linen napkin, and said, "So what's so important to bring you both down here today?" Chuck Gresham cleared his throat. "You were in Afghanistan in 2005, sir." Mason nodded slightly.
"I was?"
"There was a cargo plane shot down, allegedly loaded with over 70 tons of captured Taliban opium." The president-elect took a sip from a china coffee cup, then looked across the table. "I remember it well, Chuck. 4 aircrew died that day." Gresham shuffled in his chair, the sun uncomfortable in his eyes. "We have evidence, sir, that the plane which was destroyed was not actually carrying any opium." Mason leaned back, removed the napkin from his lap, and placed it on the table.
"Evidence?"
"Yes, sir."
"So you were looking into the so-called disappearance of this opium?"
"Yes, sir. That and other issues." Mason narrowed his eyes. "Surely this must be a matter for the military to deal with, Chuck."
"If it was only the disappearance of the opium, sir, I would agree. But there seems to be a conspiracy to steal the cargo."
"Really?" said Mason, a look of surprise on his face.
"But it should still be a military matter."
Gresham continued to shuffle in his chair. "May I have some water, please?" Mason rang a small silver bell. A few seconds later, the butler appeared. "Some water, please, Henry," said Mason, then turned back to Gresham. "You were saying, Chuck?"
"Yes, sir. Not only is there evidence of a conspiracy to steal the opium, but it would appear anyone who had anything to do with the theft has been murdered, here in America and in Russia."
Alex Mason pushed his chair from the table.
"Russia?"
"Yes, sir. The evidence points to the cargo being sold to the Moscow Mafia."
"This all sounds rather fanciful, Chuck."
The water arrived, and Gresham swallowed almost a full glass before speaking again. "There have been several murders of high-ranking officers, sir, all of which appear to be involved in the conspiracy."
"American officers?" said Mason.
"Yes, sir."
Mason turned to the Attorney General. "And what do you make of all this, Helen?"
Masterson was clearly uncomfortable being asked a direct question.
"The documented evidence and the murders all tie in, sir. The evidence we have is indeed compelling."
The president-elect stood up, casting a shadow over the couple opposite.
"Documented evidence?"
"Yes, sir," said Gresham, pleased to have a little respite from the direct sunlight. "We have names, dates, and copies of orders, information on where the stolen cargo went to in Russia, and Cayman bank accounts showing where the Mafia sent the payments. We also have a video statement from one of the conspirators before he was killed."
Mason moved away from the table and the sunlight hit the couple again.
This is amazing, Chuck, and it seems like you've done a great job in discovering all this information. But if, as you indicate, the conspirators are all dead, then who do you plan to bring to justice?
Gresham and Masterson stood up. We'll still be looking for whoever has been involved with the murders, sir, said the FBI director.
Mason smiled. And I'm sure the FBI will be successful in its endeavours, Chuck, but I don't see why you needed to bring this to me.
Gresham shuffled slightly, clearly very uncomfortable with the whole conversation.
The evidence, sir, points to one person masterminding the conspiracy.
And do you know who that person is? Said Mason.
Gresham stood silent. He could feel himself trembling.
Well, Chuck?
The director cleared his throat, stood upright and looked directly at Mason.
The evidence points to you, sir.
The president-elect's eyes narrowed to dark slits. He looked at Gresham, then Masterson, then threw his head back and laughed out loud.